Don't forget, tomorrow, the Honky Tonk Hat Trick, brought to you by Bud Light, Predators, Sharks, Bridgestone Arena. From 5 until 6:30, Honky Tonk Central. While you're there, register for a pair of tickets to the game and passes the Bud Light Zone. You can win a VIP hockey experience. Be sure to stop by Tootsie's, Rippies, and Honky Tonk Central before Predator weekday home games for specials on Bud Light. The VIP hockey experience is a pair of tickets to an upcoming game, dinner for two before the game, and a ride on the Zamboni during intermission. So tomorrow night, 7 o'clock puck drop, 6 o'clock pregame. Everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. And if you're going to the game on Sunday, don't forget Predators and Blues Sunday morning, breakfast with the Preds. That's right, a puck drop at 11 o'clock. It had originally been scheduled for 5, and because of national TV purposes, it is going to be Sunday morning at 11. So, Willie, I guess you have the morning off.
I do. I'll be there. I'll be in the house watching it, taking it in. But, hey, anytime Doc Emmerich's in the house, if he's on the call, that's not a bad thing.
And we have reached out to NBC Sports, and hopefully we'll have him on before the week's end. So hope looking forward to that if we can get Doc Emmerich on the show. Let's head up about 2.5 hours up the road, depending on how fast you drive. Let's check in with Jason Anderson, ESPN 680 up there. We always like checking in with him time to time. Jason, how you doing? I guess you guys have probably been better these days.
You know, it's been very busy is what it's been. Yesterday was a crazy day, so I am doing fine. I don't know that Louisville fans and the university are doing nearly as fine as I am, but crazy day yesterday, and I think people waking up today and realizing the sun does still come out and now trying to figure out how to move forward.
Julian Council, our producer behind the glass, went to the game on Saturday where Louisville was hosting North Carolina, and he painted the picture on the show yesterday that people were taking pictures of the 2013 banner and openly saying out loud, take pictures now while we still have it. So I can't imagine just from that, and that's just a small sample, I get it, but it doesn't paint the picture that everybody was surprised. Was this kind of the fallout everybody was expecting to happen? Or no?
Yeah, I think so. That to me has been some of the interesting part of more of the national story and reaction to this is there weren't many people in town when the sanctions came down in June that thought the appeal was going to work, that they were going to win the appeal and the banners were going to remain intact and they were going to get those games back and the wins they were going to be forced to vacate it were not going to be forced to vacate it anymore. So I don't think many Louisville fans felt that was the case. The interesting part about yesterday was the money discrepancy from an initial report about a month ago to what the actual money is. Obviously, Louisville's not in favor of the university's not in favor of the ruling and the appeals committee upholding the regular sanctions. But I think for the most part, people around here that have been following the story, and especially when they saw the Notre Dame appeals ruling as well, not many people, if at all, thought those banners were safe. So that really wasn't a surprise when they announced that those things were definitely coming down.
I think we talked to you around that time frame. Did you not take your show to Atlanta, that Final Four? Were you not down there?
We were down there, yeah. We were down there the entire week in Atlanta.
Did it happen then? Do you have to erase those? Did it really now happen? Or do you have to remove those shows, those memories, because you were there? Does that experience even happen? Does Rick Pitino have to get the tattoo removed on his shoulder? I mean, how does this work when banners come down? Do you have to delete the experience, you know?
I'm not sure. I still remember going there.
Yeah.
And I know Louisville fans are having some fun with it and saying, you know, they're showing videos and they're showing pictures of them at the game and all of that. I mean, obviously we know what happened. Even John Beilein, you know, said, I think it was last night, that, look, I mean, we played our best we could. We had a great season, and we lost to a really good team. All I know is that we played as hard as we can. But people are saying we won the championship, whatever. You know, I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to say that we played hard. So I think there's certainly coaches that recognize what's going on, and I think nationally people look at it and go, okay, you took the banners down. You can vacate it. But Reggie Bush won the Heisman. We saw him play that year, whether or not he got a lot of money or his mom got a house to go to USC, he still was the best player in college football. Whether or not there were a couple players on Louisville's team that had a striptease dance at a party, they still were the best team in college basketball in 2013. So those things happen. They won the championship. The NCAA is going to take it away. They'll vacate the records, and people will have some fun with it at Louisville's expense, and they'll be the first ever team for a college basketball national championship to have it vacated. But people will still remember what happened that weekend, and they'll still look back and say Louisville was the champion.
Yeah, you set it up perfectly. I mean, that's really what I was getting at. In all seriousness, I mean, I said this yesterday. I'm just not sure what this really does, other than officially, if you look in the record books and you see an asterisk, and then you read up, and then you know what's been vacated and what was brought down. I mean, yeah, that I guess for official purposes, but other than that, I'm just not sure when they do this to programs, really what they're accomplishing.
It doesn't seem like a deterrent
to
keep teams away or coaches away from cheating, because especially with the national reaction, and that was some of the pushback, I'll be honest, certainly from Kentucky fans, of saying, hold on, they're still going to raise, or people are talking about they should put up some sort of other banner, so you're essentially saying what they did was right and what they did was okay. And it's like, no, I'm not saying what they did was right. Nobody's excusing anything that happened at Louisville, but we're essentially talking about the paper penalty of taking a banner down or erasing victories and vacating those. It's not a deterrent. If you're a coach and you say, okay, I can win the championship, and I can get all the bonus money that comes along with that, by the way, and nationally people are going to recognize that championship, and then 3 or 4 years later somebody comes in and says, well, actually there was a player ineligible, and so we're going to take those games away. Like, nobody's taking the accomplishments away from Memphis in 2008 playing in the championship game, and I think if coaches look at it that way and they go, okay, I can risk it. Now, I'm not saying they're going to do that and risk cheating based on the sanctions and the appeals committee and their ruling, but it certainly isn't a deterrent to keep a coach from saying, oh, there is no way I'm going to do that because that might happen to me. Doesn't seem like that's all that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things. At least nationally, even, it's not all that big of a deal.
How big of a deal is the big dark cloud that's lurking in the background? And you know, the hint that more bad things, even bigger, bad, worse things that's going to affect a lot of people is just around the corner. What do you see the fallout being whenever this next round is released?
That is just, at this point, man, it is such a huge unknown with this university, and especially the basketball program, because the silver lining, if you want to call it that, I think there were a couple of silver linings, if you want to actually go down that route, was one, the money wasn't nearly as extensive as what was first reported. $600,000 to $1 million is doable. $15 million, I think, people will look at it and say universities have a lot of money, but Louisville's battling right now a $48 million budget shortfall. The athletic department still being subsidized $7 million from the university. A $15 million hit would be a big deal. So I think that was one of the silver linings. And the other one was, okay, this is now officially passed. There's a finality to it. You can move on with this behind you. Because even as the appeals was sitting out there, it was, you still got to wait for the appeals. Oh, and by the way, the FBI thing. So this is behind them. There's a silver lining. But the future is still incredibly murky. There is no clear picture. If the FBI thing wasn't going on, then you can say, boom, it's behind you, move on, and now look to the future, because the punishments were essentially in the past and they weren't in the future. But the FBI thing, nobody knows. I mean, is it Pete Thamel's 50 teams, you know, of what source he told him? Is it Mark Schlabaugh's 3 dozen teams of a source that they told him? Not sure. Nobody really knows. And nobody even knows if the information will become public. Nobody even knows if college basketball as a whole will be turned, you know, completely upside down. I highly doubt the NCAA will want to go and rip apart college basketball and bring all these programs to ashes while destroying the product that they make the most money on in the NCAA tournament. But we'll see. That's such an unknown that it's really hard to feel like everything is behind Louisville right now, just because there's a finality to the scandal and the recruiting scandal that took place, because nobody knows what the FBI thing is going to do. And for all of the fans out there that go, is my team involved, and you don't know? Well, Louisville knows for a fact their team is involved.
Jason Anderson is with us, ESPN 680, up in Louisville. And Jason, is anybody, you know, I know he hasn't yet because it would be big news, but is anybody going to catch up with Rick Pitino? Do you expect him to say anything in light of all this?
He's actually having a press conference today at 3 o'clock Eastern in New York. They released a statement today, from maybe his attorney. I'm not sure. It's Mark Mukasey. Not sure who that is. Says Coach Rick Pitino will make a formal statement about recent events at 3 o'clock Eastern Wednesday, February 21st, 2018 at the law firm of Greenberg Tarog LLP in New York, New York. So that is actually today, 3 o'clock Eastern. Rick Pitino will meet with the media, and I can only guess Rick will make sure everybody knows that whatever happened yesterday, he is the victim of all this.
Yes, I'm sure. And I'm sure the tone will be outrage, right?
Oh, shameful. The NCAA, what they did was wrong. It was over the top. They did nothing wrong. It was one person that did this, is what I expect to hear.
Who has the best Rick Pitino impression on your station?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like I do an okay one. I'm not sure anybody else tries to do that impression. I feel like I'm like a scale of four on a scale of you know, 1 to 10, but I'm not sure anybody has ever attempted, so I'll give everybody else a 1 or 2. So by default, maybe me.
What do you think will come of the lawsuit? I mean, he got fired. He was owed all this money. It's clear that he thinks he's owed some of this. What, anything going on with that? Any latest developments?
Yeah, they actually set a court date for September of 2019 for the lawsuit by Rick and the counter lawsuit by the university. Now, they did set up a mediation session for May of 2019. I highly doubt this thing gets to court. I think they carved out 10 to 12 days for the court case in September of 19. It's not going to get that far. I think the judge will also make sure it doesn't get that far. The issue that people are paying attention to around here is that both sides have asked the judge to keep all the details and any evidence sealed from the public, and he has not ruled on that yet. I personally, and from a personal standpoint, and I think everybody else selfishly, really wants to see that information released, and I think there's a couple of reasons why it should be released, quite frankly. There's a big public interest for this entire story. Louisville is dealing with the budget shortfall they are. The state, the Commonwealth is dealing with a lot of budget issues, and this is a publicly funded university, and there is a battle over contract issues, and if this person had a breach of contract and he's still trying to get money, what is the evidence as to why he deserves it? What is Louisville using against him as to why he deserves it? And there's it's a public interest. And so I don't know what he's going to rule. I've been told that if both sides want it to happen, that the judge will typically side with that. But the latest is they are still going through their litigation. They're still going through their negotiations, I guess, for a buyout, if you want to call it that. But I will tell you this, Louisville is pretty staunch, and they don't want to give him nearly as much money as he may think. And I think there's a chance Louisville says, we're not going to give you a dime because all of the things that happened under your watch and where Louisville is right now, you really think you deserve a buyout? No, we've got plenty of grounds to fire you for cause.
How do you think the team has handled the situation? They're still suiting up and playing, and you know they've been competitive, and they're trying to get to the NCAA tournament. So how do you think they've dealt with all of this?
It's interesting. I don't really know. Like the peripheral aspects of dealing with it, I'm not sure on the outside. But obviously they've had to deal with it because 2 days before practice started, Rick Pitino was fired. And David Padgett had to take over. And he ran practice for a week by himself. They couldn't have another assistant in there. He literally was the only coach in practice for a week until they got Trent Johnson and Greg Paulus, and they filled out their staff. And so, they played well at times. They played disconnected at times. Oftentimes it looks like they might be distracted, but I'm not sure how much this team is being is the outside influences affecting their particular play, or if it's just there's a different coach. David Padgett's different than Rick Pitino. He's not nearly as hard on the players, where any individual little mistake is going to get you pulled out of a game. That's not the case with David Padgett. Case in point, with North Carolina, Anas Mahmud, 7 foot, the tallest player North Carolina played for 31 minutes of that game was 6'9". Anas Mahmud in 20 minutes grabbed 2 rebounds, and yet he played 20 minutes as a 7 footer. That would never have happened with Rick Pitino. He would have found himself on the pine until he went out there and actually tried to rebound, but for whatever reason, it's just not the same. And so I don't know if that's the players know that it's not as much of a strict mentality, so they can feel like they can freelance a little more. I'm not sure, but they look like a different team, especially defensively, than they have in years past. And maybe that's more of the impact of the FBI rather than people around or chanting on road games, FBI, why guys are at the free throw line. It's probably more of the actual literal direct impact with David Padgett being the coach and a couple of assistants they never met, as opposed to Rick Pitino, Kenny Johnson, Jordan Fair, and David Padgett, the guys that they've known for the last couple of years.
I saw recently, Jason, where Dan Issel was named the president of MBA to Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what's going on, and I know this stuff has been out there for a while, and now that there's a new arena, and that market, I think, is always had an eye on maybe professional basketball. But if this thing stays down for a while, this program, you know, stays average or below average for a good while, they have to dig out of this. How much do you think that will help, if any at all? I mean, what's realistic about professional basketball to Louisville?
It is a ongoing debate here in Louisville about professional basketball because it is one of the largest markets that does not have a professional sports franchise, but Louisville is viewed as the professional team. A lot of the corporate dollars goes to the university, goes to the athletic department. Papa John's is located here in Louisville. A lot of that money goes to UofL and the athletic department. His name is on the football stadium. KFC Yum Brands is here in Louisville. The KFC Yum Center is the name of the arena. So there's a real worry by Louisville fans that if an NBA team were to come here, a lot of corporate dollars were to go to the NBA team at the expense of the university. But the issue you run into is if Louisville starts to struggle, they still got to find a way to pay for the Yum Center. And right now they're not doing a very good job of paying for the Yum Center because there aren't enough dates in that arena. An NBA team would certainly help alleviate that. I went and looked at the Pacers schedule along with the Louisville men's and women's basketball team. In the month of December, there would be 13 straight days where there would be an event at the KFC Yum Center that was just basketball, men's, women's, and NBA, if that were the case. So it is an ongoing debate. I think there are a lot of people, businessmen now in town, Dan Issel, there's a lot of people that have a lot of money around town that want to see it happen and would like the NBA to be here in Louisville, but we are so far away from that. I do love what they did and announced last week, and that is having Dan Issel and a group dedicated that their job is specifically to putting Louisville in the best possible position when the NBA expands, because we're all under the impression Seattle's getting one. Well, you got to go to 32, so who gets the next one? Vegas, Mexico City, Vancouver, KC, some of the other cities that have been thrown out there. Louisville wants to be a part of that mix, and if it takes 4 years for them to expand, it's Louisville spending 4 years putting all of their ducks in a row that if they decide to expand, boom, Louisville's got everything ready to go while a number of these other cities are saying, hey, we should throw our hat in the ring too.
Hmm. Interesting. Hey, the next time you have Dan Dockich on your show, let us know. We'll listen in.
Yes, the next time would be the first time and probably the last time too. So.
Jason,
always fun.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, guys, anytime.
Jason Anderson does a great job up at ESPN 680 in Louisville, and just wanted to get you a little perspective.
What is the
up the road
inside for people that do not know about the Dan Dockich?
All right, we'll come back and we'll
address that.
Yeah, we'll address that and more on the other side. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.